It's my job to preach here at Faith Baptist Church, but part of pastoring is more than just preaching. There are some times where we've just got to go over some things, and I don't know how much of preaching is going to go on tonight, but we got a lesson that the Lord's laid on my heart. Not heard it here for a while. Pastor Groves always made a point to every couple years go through the basics of marriage, and so tonight we're going to go through the basics of marriage. We've got some young couples here. We've that haven't been here for a while. We've got some young folks that are planning on getting married. We've got some young folks that are coming up, and I know we'll be getting married soon. And so, this is good things for us to know. And then it's just good reminders for the rest of us, because y'all know that when God does things, it's always a picture of something better. Amen. And we got to remember that. I mean, yeah, the Bible's a literal book, but there's always a picture of something better. While marriage is a wonderful thing, it's a picture of something better. Amen? And we'll get to that. I don't want to jump the gun, but I want to go ahead and also open us up in a word of prayer before we get into the message. I want God to bless this, and I want y'all to be ready to put away what society thinks and put away what we think, and just let God tell us what we ought to think. Amen? All right. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for the guidance, the direction it gives to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would guide and direct tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd do what only you can do. I pray, God, you'd help me to recall the things that you've placed on my heart, Lord, as we look to your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified as we do what you've called us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've only got 3 points. 4 points, that is, sorry. Now, Matthew says the way to get me to preach shorter is to have more points, I guess, is what he said this morning, so this must be going to be a long one because I've only got 4 points. But let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to read a few verses here, but we're going to see the reason for marriage. We're going to see the reason for marriage. Now, the reason, the real reason, the main reason for marriage is as a picture of Christ, but I don't, and the bridegroom and the bride, which is the church, but I don't want to get to all that quite yet. In verse 1 of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And we're going to stop there for a minute, okay? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, I want you to notice, it does not say it is not good for a woman to touch a man. It doesn't say that, does it? And guess what? You can look. Your Bible doesn't say anywhere in there that it's good for a woman not to touch a man. It doesn't. You know, God knows how we are. Y'all understand, get that, amen? God knows how we are. God made us, so you better believe he knows how we are. It says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why does God say that to men? Why doesn't he say it to women? And then you might have those that would say, well, when God says man, he's actually speaking to both. No, in this one, he's only talking to the man, okay? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Guys, when we see a woman that catches our eye, that's all we need right there. Boom. Right? We look, the eyes matter to us, right? The eyes matter to us. You know what matters to a woman? The touch. Amen? My wife can look at me and it don't do nothing for her. I know, I figured I'd get an amen there. But I look at her and it does something for me. Okay? But there are things that a husband and wife can do. But this is saying it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And that's correct. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. You get that, boy? Yeah, I'm talking to you. All right. She told me to do that. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Now, that's very specific. Okay, it's very specific. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, so y'all don't go out and fornicate, because that's what we do. That's what we'll do. Amen? And Paul goes into greater detail in this things, but nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Now, it is specific in the fact that it's talking about having your own wife, men, not another man's wife. Your own wife, your own husband, woman, not another woman's husband. All right, so let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. So God talks to the husband first. Now, if you don't know what benevolence is, it's basically very good acts of kindness. Husbands, very good acts of kindness. Yeah, I know, right? Hey, listen here, fellas. God gets on us now, okay? We've got a high standard to uphold. Amen? So it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That is our job. We are to be good to our wife. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. But God's telling them to be good unto us too, so that's a good thing. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Now there's a lot of fellows like that verse right there. Amen? And listen, folks, I'm going to talk about some things tonight. I'm not going to get graphic, but I'm going to talk about some things that are specific here in God's Word, okay? But I know there's some kids in here, and I won't be graphic or anything. But y'all know what we're talking about. So the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Now this is a way for Paul is saying, and that God is saying to us, I am not mine and she is not hers. She is mine and I am hers. Amen? And husbands and wives, you belong to someone. Yes, you are a possession. You are. Amen? Amen goes on. You don't have to say amen for it to be true. It's still true. And then it says in verse 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. One of those words I struggle with, apparently. Now, here's where we're going to get a little delicate. What does it mean to defraud ye not one the other? Listen, husband and wife, there are things that God has made for you to be able to do together that are only you do with your own husband. And the thing is, you're not supposed to not get your way and not give him his way. Likewise, husbands. Now, what I'm saying is, just because he ain't being what you want him to be, don't mean you get to be what he needs you to be. Amen goes right there. And that goes likewise for the husbands. What that means is, we're not to say, you know what, you didn't act the way I wanted you to there. You're not being what I want you to be, so I am not going to be your wife tonight. Okay, now, have I made myself clear? All right. Because there were some looks of confusion. And that's the same thing for the husband. The husband's not supposed to say, well, you're not being what I expect you to be, so I'm not going to be what I'm supposed to be for you tonight. Defraud you not. Now, it does say that unless it's for a consent. Now, what a consent means is that you've agreed together. And it says this is for something holy, for prayer and for fasting. Because, hey, there are times we ought to deny our flesh of things in a fasting manner in order to separate ourselves a little bit more from our flesh to be a little closer to God, okay? But notice here, it's with consent, okay? Wives, husbands, you're not allowed to look at that one and go on a holy roll and say, well, I'm fasting right now, so you can't have me, okay? Not unless it's a consent. Is this saying what the Bible says here? But it does say that you ought to come together again. Don't make it too long, because Satan will tempt you. Because listen, hey, it's easy to be tempted, isn't it? Come on now, amen? Fellas, I can't speak for the ladies. I'm not a lady, okay? But the men, it's easy to be tempted. It doesn't take much. The TV, any billboard, there's all kinds of things for us to cast, not to mention in the summertime, people don't wear much clothes. Fellas, it's easy to be tempted. Wives, you're doing your husband a service by being his wife. Amen goes right there. Husbands, you're doing your wife a service by being her husband. Now, I'm trying not to be graphic, but we know what I mean. Amen. Now, Paul says, but I speak this by permission and not commandment. Now, what he's saying is, God's going to allow me to give you this next part. For I would that all men were even as I myself. And what Paul's saying is, Paul was not married. Paul was not married. Paul kept his virgin. What that means is kept himself pure. He never knew a woman. He kept himself. And he says, I would that all men were even as I am, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. He says, but not everybody can do this. Not everybody can do this. And he wasn't setting himself up on a pedestal, because he'd be the first to say he was the chief of sinners, okay? Paul was humble. Paul was meek. But he says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, what that means is, if you just got to fulfill the lust of the flesh, then let them marry, is what he's saying. For it is better to marry than to burn. Now, this verse can get taken out of context. When it says it is better to marry than to burn, does that mean if you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh without becoming married that you're going to go to hell and you lose your salvation? That's not what it means. What it means is, hey, those lustful desires burn within us, don't they? Amen goes right there, I know. I know this isn't much of an amen message, but truth is truth here. So, and the Bible says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. He says, now I'm back to saying what God wants instead of what he's given me permission to say. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So, we see the reason for marriage is to keep us from fornication. There are folks that can be single. There are folks that can do it. Okay? Amen, there are. But there are folks that cannot. Amen. Okay, there are folks that cannot. And so Paul says, look, it would be good if you could keep yourself from it, because, and then another chapter we're not going to go over tonight, Paul talks about the fact that, listen, a husband can't give himself wholly to the Lord because he's got to give himself wholly to his wife. He's got to worry about her needs and the family's needs. He's got to worry about those things. So he can't do for the Lord what someone who has only the Lord can do for. Do you understand that? So Paul goes into that. But if you can't do that, then marry. Then marry. There's a reason. God doesn't want us. Listen, God doesn't want you struggling with it. Y'all know that, right? God gave you that desire, husband. God gave you that desire, wife. Those are God-given desires. They're okay as long as they're done in God's parameters. So there's a good reason for marriage, to save for fornication. Pardon me. 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, verse 1, likewise, ye wives. Now, it says likewise because if you'll go to the chapter before, he's talking to servants, obeying their masters and being subject unto them and doing the rules and following how they're supposed to do, all for the glory of God, all for the testimony for the Lord, is what he's saying in chapter 2. And he gets to chapter 3 and he says, likewise, which means in the same way, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now that's a hard word for us to hear in today's society, because that is not what today's society teaches. Is it, ladies? No. You are taught to be a strong, independent woman and not to be subject to anybody. That's what society teaches. But that goes against God's word. God has a reason for the way he does things. Amen? And God has a reason, and the reason is to give us joy and peace. And the thing is, if we'll do it God's way, he gives us joy and peace. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, he's talking, Peter's talking here. He says, look, honey, he may not be saved, he may not be born again, he may not be giving his life to God, but maybe if you'll do it, if you'll give your life to God, if you obey your husband for the glory and honor of God, God can use it to be a testimony for him. It does work. It does work. God can use that method. Not that she's perfect, because she ain't. She's only practically perfect. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that's saying, you let the Holy Spirit be what shines through you. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, husbands, don't think he's getting away with anything. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The things that God makes you know, the things that you know to be true, you better do them. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know, husbands, you're supposed to honor that woman. You know what it means to honor? This is I don't know how else to put it. Put her up on a pedestal. And don't you dare knock her down. Honor her. Not because she's the weaker vessel because you can whoop a pop knot on her head, okay? That's not what, but because she needs you. She needs you. Whether she wants to admit it or not, fellas, she needs you. And they are stubborn sometimes and they don't want to admit it. I'm not speaking from experience, of course. But honor her as under the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together for the of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I want you to pay close attention to that. Prayers be not hindered. Husbands and wives, I want you to listen to something here. Likewise, if you're not going to be the husband that she needs you to be according to God's word, and if you're not going to be the wife that he needs you to be according to God's word, it hinders your prayers. You know what I have found out? I can be begging God for a message, begging God for something, speak to me from his word, and he's not giving me anything. He won't give me anything except for you need to call her and tell her you're a big dummy. God does that to me. I don't like it because I don't like saying I'm a big dummy, and I don't like saying that I'm wrong, and I don't like honoring her all the time, especially when I don't think she deserves to be honored. But it don't matter. My prayers are being hindered when I will not be what God has told me I'm supposed to be. And how am I going to accomplish anything if my prayers are hindered? And it goes for her too. And it goes for you too. And I'm not picking on my wife, but that's the only one I can talk about. So I don't know any other wives. That's mine. But our prayers are hindered when we aren't likewise, when we aren't subject, when we aren't giving benevolence and honor, when we aren't giving reverence and putting ourselves in the place that God has told us to be in. That's just some of the rules. Here's some more of the rules. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a familiar passage, especially the first verse. Husbands quote this to their wives all the time. Wives, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, you notice that word own again. Notice that, ladies? Own unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Don't even do it for him, for your husband. Do it for the Lord. Are you a child of God? Don't do it for your husband. He does not deserve my submission. He does not deserve my respect. He wouldn't be respected. Don't matter. Are you a child of God? Do it as unto the Lord. Just saying what the Bible says. For the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife. Now listen, ladies. I know that we have been taught completely different in society today. I know we have. And I say we because, hey, I grew up in a home where my father was not always the head. And I'm not. My mom will admit this, okay, so I'm not speaking out of turn. My father was not always the head. Because sometimes my mom would want to be the head. And the thing is, when we do it out of order, it messes things up. It really does. My wife will be the first to admit that there is a piece in saying it's his fault. Amen? There is a piece in saying that's his decision. I don't have to lose any sleep over it. Women, you ought to give up control to that man. Because, this is a picture, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, your husband's responsible for you. Your husband's responsible for you. Therefore, as church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, y'all getting the picture here? The church is subject to Christ. Whether we want to be or not, one day as the bride of Christ, we will stand before him and answer as to if we were a good bride or a bad bride. Okay? We are supposed to be in subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands. Now, you notice that word right there? There's two words there in verse 24. So let the wives be to their own husbands. What is that? In what? In everything. In everything. There's freedom in there, ladies. Because, you know, God's about to put a big old whammy on the men. All right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You will not find in your Bible, man, that God commands her to love you. Ain't going to happen. It's not in there. She is not going to be told to love you. God doesn't do it. Because if you'll love her the way that God tells you to love her, she'll love you. She'll love you. God don't make us love him, does he, church? He don't make us love. We talked about that this morning. God don't make me love him. But he makes me love him. And if you'll be what God has placed you there to be as the husband of that woman, of your wife, your own wife, if you'll be what God tells you to be, she'll love you. If not, she'll have to answer to God for it. But don't you give her an excuse. Don't you give her, because Christ does not give us an excuse, does he? Fellas, we have got a high standard to uphold. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Fellas, let me tell you something. That verse about 5 years ago, God used that verse to do one of those on me, okay? Because I've never, ever had a problem loving myself. Never been a problem. I've always been able to make sure that I'm happy and taking care of my needs and doing all those things. But I have found that if I'll love her, if I will love her as myself, oh my goodness, it's so much better. Happy wife, happy life. That's where that comes from right there, that verse right there, amen? Comes right there. Sought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Listen, fellas, listen. This is the best advice I can give you right now. If you'll love her right, oh my goodness, will you be blessed. Will you be blessed? All right, let's go on. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Hey, fellas, she is you. In God's eyes, she is you. Honey, he is you. In God's eyes, you are one flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says, similar to the first couple of verses in this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And then it says, and be not bitter against them. Now, here's another one God really hit me upside the head with, fellas. Be not bitter against them. You know, I can love my wife, but hold a grudge against her. Amen? Fellas, you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, I love her. Right now, I'd love to slap her up, right? Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. But God says, be not bitter against them. What does that mean? Does Christ hold anything over our head? Or does he forgive us? Before or after we ask? His forgiveness is always there, isn't it? Even if she don't ask you, big boy, just drop it. Does it really matter in the scheme of things? Does it? Now, there are things what I know are going to fit in there. Well, you know, she said if I go to sleep tonight, she'll kill me. I'm a little bitter about that. Don't go to sleep that night. Okay, I get that. But, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. So there's the reason, there's the rules, and there's the results. the husband's blessing. I like this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Now, this is the same book of the Bible that says it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a brawling and a contentious woman. Okay? But we're talking about a good wife. Amen? It's a blessing to have a good wife. And then there's the wife's blessing. Proverbs 31, 23. And you may think this doesn't make any sense, Pastor. I'll explain it. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, this is in Proverbs chapter 31, and it's talking about a virtuous woman, a woman who has taken her place and has reverenced her husband and submitted herself to him and has done all those things. You ever heard this saying? Because this is where this comes from. Behind every good man, behind every great man is a good woman. You ever heard that saying? This is the verse I get it from. Because let me tell you something. Wives, it is a blessing to see your man doing great things for God that he could never do. Let me tell you something. I can't do what I do without her. I can't do it. I'm glad that on Pastor Appreciation Day, it wasn't just me you appreciated, because I couldn't do it without her. And it is a blessing for the wife. And you know, this is the picture of the bride of Christ. It is. It's a great picture of the bride of Christ. We are, just like the virtuous woman, we are supposed to tend to the needs of the home. Amen? We're supposed to make sure things are done right and things are, folks are fed, and we're supposed to do the things like a virtuous woman. And all denying our own needs, denying our own desires, all for the glory of Him. And wives, I know that doesn't make any sense to you. I know it doesn't, but you'll not prove God wrong on this. You'll not prove him wrong on this. When we are in subjection, when we in subjection serve him, dying to our desires and seeking to make him look good, that means give him the glory, it's a blessing to us. And husbands and wives, let me tell you something. It truly is more blessed to give than to receive. It really is. That's what love is you giving yourself. Is you giving yourself. And if we'll do that, we'll do that for one another. Just give yourself to her. Give yourself to him. And I'm talking about in every aspect of life. You are one flesh. And we've got to remember that. And then, because another result is the blessing of intimacy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. There is something wonderful about having a good wife and a good husband and having those moments of intimacy. And I'm not just talking about the physical things, okay? There's so much more to intimacy than that. It is wonderful to be able to share your life with someone. And it'll never be what it can be if we'll not do it God's way. It never will. And the thing is, again, that's a picture of us with Christ. Because listen, if we'll put ourselves in the position that we're supposed to as the bride of Christ, there is an intimacy there. Now, you'll only know what I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. But have you ever been so overcome with the feeling of love towards your mate that if they asked you to stand on your head and blow bubbles, you'd do it? You know what I'm talking about? No matter what they'd ask you to do, you'd do whatever it is. That's that intimacy. That's it. There's nothing you wouldn't give up or do for them because you want to show them. Not just say, look, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I can say it real easy, but I'm talking about showing it, no matter what it is. And that's that intimacy we're supposed to have with Christ. And when we do, when we get that closeness, he'll look at us in our eyes and he'll say, I need you to do this for me, honey. Whatever you say, God. Whatever you say, Lord. Please regard these things. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll finish up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the same chapter that the Lord talks about, the Lord's Supper. Paul tells us about the Lord's Supper and ordinances, and the home, the home is established by God. Amen? And there's an order to it. So he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. Man, husband, you're supposed to be following God's lead. You've got to take your place in order for things to be where they're supposed to be. Wives, he's the head of the home, whether you like it or not. And let me tell you something, ladies, there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. You just let it go. Let him have it. Quit trying to take the reins of the home and dictate where things go and how things end up. Listen, you're going to stand before God for that. I'm just saying. And man, if you're not going to man up and be the husband of the home and you're going to sit back and let her take the reins, you're going to stand in judgment for that. You'll stand before God and answer for not being the way that God has set things up to be when things are out of order. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man, and this is where we can get into hats in church and women with shaved heads. Woman's supposed to be covered. Woman's supposed to have hair on her head. Mark, you're okay. You're actually the most biblical guy in here when it comes to the head, man. I mean, uncovered, man. Brother Tom, you're close. Oh, wow, yeah, Cookie too. Godly man over there. Look at him. All right. Uncovered, man, uncovered. All right. For the man is not of the woman. Or for the man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, I remember the first time Pastor Groves went over this, and it was good. It made sense. Okay? Women, don't shut me off here, okay? Don't shut me off here. But y'all remember back in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, in Genesis, when the sons of God came and took unto them wives of the daughters of men? Y'all remember that? Yeah? Okay. That's what the Apostle Paul is referencing here, because of the angels. And so a woman has to have power on her head. And Pastor Groves would tell, listen, when a woman is a girl, she has her father. And from there, it's supposed to go to her husband. Now, if that passes on and there's another husband, then fine. But a woman is supposed to have a man as her head. Why? Because the angels. Because a woman is susceptible. And then it goes on to say, Adam was not deceived, Eve was. And now God is not calling you stupid, women. Okay, that's not what he's saying. But he is saying that you need to have a head. And the spiritual head of the home and the spiritual head of a woman is supposed to be the man that God sets up in authority in that life. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. One flesh. Now, I know this wasn't a rip-roaring message. I know that. But listen, we got to have our homes in order for church to be in order. Amen? We do. I'm not saying our homes are out of order. I don't know. God just laid this on my heart today, so we did it, okay? But it's time to pray. It's time to go to the altar. So stand with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Time to do business with God. Matt, if you'd give me an invitation song.